Turn with me. Book of Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Song of Solomon, I'd like to pick up where we left off in verse 14 through the end of the chapter. The scripture says, beginning in verse 14, O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Amazing grace is the only way to explain the love of the Savior to a sinner. Now I say explain it. I'm not here to explain anything but to proclaim the Word of God. But there's no other explanation that Almighty God would have mercy upon anybody except for this. I will, he said, have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Grace describes the way in which the bridegroom views the bride. He said, this is how I see you. Now the bride, truthfully, will say of herself, every individual believer says, oh my, it must be by grace. For I know He sees me much more than I even see myself. And what I see in myself is unbearable. He speaks to the bride in such a way to remove all doubt of His love for her, because He has explained, He's told her in the Scriptures, Here's the way we know. It's what we talked about just a few moments ago. This is how we know. This is how God speaks. He speaks through His Word. The living Word speaks through the written Word. Blessed by the Spirit of God. And the sheep hear. They hear His voice. But He says unto her in that 14th verse, oh, my dove. I had to stop there for a minute and just look at the word, oh. Oh. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I've heard it said, it's not what you say, but how you say it. And I agree with that totally. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. This may be true with you and with me, but concerning Him, it's what He says and how He says it that ignites the heart of the believer. Oh, I mean, as he's going to speak to his bride, and he says, oh, over in the 5th chapter, we'll deal with this, Lord willing, next few weeks. He says, you've ravished me. I've brought this out before. That's one of the most amazing verses I have ever read in my life. He said, you've ravished me with one of your eyes. That word ravished. Not ravaged, but ravished. You've stolen my heart. what you said. He said, I'm heartless when I behold you. Because he views her in the beauty that he has given her. He looks upon her in his righteousness. That's the way God sees her. You've ravished me. Oh, my dove. The bride is his bride. His. His by eternal choice. God's choice. Chosen from the foundation of the world. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Sanctification, set apart and declared holy, justified by the imputed righteousness of Christ from the foundation of the world. God viewed her in His eternal purpose and will and choice. Viewed her in Christ. Chose her. Looked upon her. His sheep. His bride. How long has she been His sheep? Always. She's always been sheep. All other sheep I have, the Lord said, not of this fold. Them I must get. I must bring them. Lost sheep. I'm sure of that. But I'll tell you this, they're sheep. Lost sheep, found sheep, God's sheep. He said, oh, my dove. My dove. His by God's eternal choice. His by purchase. When you buy something, you have a receipt, proof. Proof. You pay for that? Yep, here's a receipt right there. Bought it. Paid for it. Turn over with me to John chapter 20. John 20. Thomas. We talk about doubting Thomas. John 20, verse 24. The Lord declares His sheep, His bride to be His. Oh my dove, He says, John 20, verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came, the other disciples. Therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We're His by purchase. He bought us. We bought with a price. Almighty God chose a people, gave them to His Son. They're His by God's choice. They're His by His purpose. I mean purchase. The 24 elders in Revelation 5:8 fell down before the Lamb and sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And Paul, in Acts 20:28, charged the elders of the church at Ephesus. He said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. We're His by God's choice. We're here His by His own purchase. But I tell you, you that believe, the bride is His by surrender. Thy sheep, thy people, shall be willing in the day of thy power. David said in Psalm 57:7, my heart is fixed. My heart's fixed. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Why do you come? Why does a believer come? Because God's given him a heart to come. He comes because he wants to come. Wants to. Follow by yielding to His guidance and seek for His leadership. They do it joyfully. Oh, my dove. By faith, the Scripture says, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing... Boy, does that word bother you? Does that bother you? Choosing. People say, I don't believe in... Well, I'm going to tell you something. God Almighty give a man a heart to come. That man chooses. He chooses because God chose him first. I'll tell you that. He loves the Lord because the Lord loved him first. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. They come, God's people come because they want to come. The bride is His. And they look at Him and behold Him with affection. He says to her, oh, my dove. My dove. You know, I looked up first time that word was used. Turn with me to Genesis 8. Genesis chapter 8. Something was written about a dove. The Lord refers to her as a dove. The bride is a dove. Genesis 8. Look at verse 6. It came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro till the waters were dried up from off the earth. And also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him, into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand, took her, pulled her in unto him, unto the ark. And I thought, you know, that dove, the Scripture says, there was found no rest for the sole of her foot. Where does a believer find rest? In Christ. Oh, my dove. There's so much that's insinuated about the dove. The dove is one that's been taught something of depending upon Almighty God. That symbolism. Depending on Him for wisdom. The Scripture says in Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. They're defenseless in themselves. What can a dove do? Have you ever seen a savage dove? I mean, that's funny. I mean, they're helpless. They're just helpless creatures. Be wise as serpents, thoughtful, discreet, cautious, practical, and harmless, innocent. Innocence. You know, it takes great wisdom to know what to say and when to say it. One end of the spectrum, at times we'll desire to say something to somebody, we'll hold our tongue to avoid persecution. And on the other end, we cast our pearls before swine without regard to a place or a time, circumstances. Truly, who is sufficient to know what to do? Be harmless as doves. We need Him. be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But here the Lord says, O my doves, my helpless one that is dependent upon me, unable to defend yourself against enemies. My simple one. That's what he's saying. My timid one that trembles at the very sight of danger. My sensitive one. Sensitive to evil within and without. Those that groan within because of the presence of sin. My faithful one. Doves are faithful creatures. Faithful. Kept. That's what we are. By the power of God through faith. You are my dove. Oh, my dove. Back in Song of Solomon, he says, that art in the clefts of the rock. Here's your security. You can't defend yourself. You are defenseless. You're not, the aggressor. Yeah. Doves are often found in the recesses of rocks because they're timid. The wise man feareth or respects God and departs from evil, while the fool rageth and is confident. Doves have a sufficient reason. Believers have a sufficient reason to fear because of the corruptness within, without, sin present, all around. Oh, my dove, you're in the cleft of the rock. That's where I've put you. That's where I've hidden you. The Lord told Moses, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, in the refuge of the rock, for safety. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He said, I've looked upon you in favor. Oh, my doves, thou art, you are in Christ, the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. I looked at that for a long time, and think I have something on it. Turn with me to Ezekiel. I want to just show you something. Ezekiel chapter 38. The secret places of the stair. That's what it says. Ezekiel 38. Now, you know, if the Lord says, you are my dove. Well, you know this. You know that she's God's dove. You know that. If He says you're in the cleft of the rock, you know that she's in Christ, chosen in Christ, secured in Christ, kept. You know that. Then He tells her, He says, you're in the secret places of the stairs. In Ezekiel 38 and verse 20, this is what the Scripture says. So that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth, shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Now you see that word, steep places? You may look in your margin right there. It says, towers or stairs. Okay? Towers of rebellion is what that is. Everything that rises up against Almighty God is going to fail. That's what He said. Every steep place. The mountain's going to be thrown down. The steep places shall fall. The stairs. All that's in this world. All of it. Every bit of it is going to fall. The stairs. The Lord tells His bride, back in Song of Solomon 2:14, you're my dove, you're in the clefts of the rock, you're in the secret places of the stairs. The stairs there according to Ezekiel 38, is concerning this world, this place of rebellion. The Lord told His people. He said, You're not of this world. I'm not of this world. You're not of this world. When He was praying to His Father over in John 17, verse 13, He says, I come to thee. These things speak I in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they're not of this world. They're not of the world. They're not of the world. Even as I'm not of the world. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil, from the towers, from the stairs, from the rebellion. And then verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them apart. Keep them. They're in the world. I'm not praying, the Lord Jesus said, that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but keep them. Secure them. Hide them. Hide them. Song of Solomon 2:14 says, my dove, you're in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, these towers of rebellion against God and His people. The stairs, these towers and steep places of oppression are there. They're there. The stairs, they're there. The towers are there. The world is there. You're in the world. You're in the midst of wolves in sheep clothing. But there's secret places only known by Almighty God, where God keeps them. Secret. Hidden places of God's protection. These places where the saints are maintained while in this life. Watched over. Kept. You're in the cleft of... That's one statement that He's making in verse 14 of Song of Solomon 2. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. He's still talking about her protection. You see that? He's keeping her. Secret places. And He says, Let me see thy countenance. While the bride is safe, protected by His omnipotence, kept while in this world. David said in Psalm 27, for in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me on a rock. The Lord told him, He said, you're in the secret places of the stairs. Then He longs for communion with her. He tells her, He says, I long to see. Let me see thy countenance. Let me behold you. Let me look upon you. Let me view your beauty. He looks upon her as she comes to Him in the very faith that He gave her, in the very beauty in which He robed her. Let me see your countenance. Let me just look at you. I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to embarrass any of you wives or anything like this, but I mean, you know, if your husband were to just stop, probably be something said after this service, Brother Scott, but, you know, if he just stopped and he said, just, let me just look at you. You're so lovely. I just want to look at you. I mean, wouldn't that do something? I mean, you know, just let me behold. Let me see thy countenance. Let me look upon you. He says in that last part of that 14th verse, He said, thy countenance is comely. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Robed in His righteousness. Altogether lovely as He is altogether lovely. In Him. Oh, comely. With that righteousness that He has charged. His heart yearns to see His own light, His own beauty upon the bride, that He might behold her beauty it brings honor to Himself and to the Father. Let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice. Let me hear the voice. That unspoken voice. Believers, as they hear the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God preached, they worship. They worship. A voice of worship that Almighty God alone sees. I'm not talking about this silly, false, fake. I see these guys on television and I'll hear them say, you know, give the Lord a hand of praise. And I guess that means clap. You know, I guess that's the only thing I can figure. That's all they ever do. But I'm going to tell you something. God's sheep, there's a voice of worship and praise and adoration that they don't know how to voice. You ask a believer, say, how do you voice your voice of praise? I don't know. How do you speak to Him in words that give honor to Himself? I don't know. My heart burns. I worship, praise, thank Him, worship Him, and hearing Him and believing Him. Look over in John 4. John 4:24. This is the Lord spoke. This is how man, this is worship. I'm not saying I understand what everything this is saying. I'm just telling you this is it. God is Spirit. John 4:24. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. They hear the gospel. They hear the word of Almighty God. And they worship God in spirit. In the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, blessed by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God blessed by the Holy Spirit. And Almighty God bears witness with their spirit, Romans 8:16, that they're the sons of God. They worship. They believe Him. The essence of worship, I can tell you this, is believing God. They believe Him. They believe Him. Abraham believed God. And it was charged to him. Righteousness. He said, let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice. Sweet voice. Pleasant is the voice of the believer to Him. Most pleasant. For her voice is the voice of the redeemed. The voice of belief. The voice of praise. The voice of thanksgiving. She worships Him. Voice wrought by faith. And the bride responds to His request in verse 15. That was the Lord speaking in that 14th verse. And then she responds and she says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Seize all that would hinder fellowship with you. Keep us from false teachers. Ezekiel 13:4 says, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. They're crafty. They're cruel. These foxes have holes where they cunningly creep in to destroy widows' houses. Little foxes. Whatever causes division. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 11, 18. Paul says, for first of all, when we come together, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there's divisions among you. I partly believe it. Divisions. 1 Corinthians 3:3. Scripture says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Keep us, the bride says, from foxes. Little foxes, that which destroys and eats at and all this yeah and whatever, for the sake of the gospel. If you have somewhat against someone else, go to that person. Get it right. Ask their forgiveness. Let there be no divisions. Let there be no envy and strife. For the sake and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, go to that person. I heard Brother Henry say one time, if you got something against somebody in this church, you get it right. You go to them and you ask them. Tell them, ask them, forgive you. If they come to you and ask you to forgive them, then you forgive them and forget it. Lord, keep us from these foxes. These little foxes. Keep us from that spoil the vines. That has one purpose, to bind and destroy and corrupt and offend. We're His garden. We are His trees of planting. Kept by Him, fed, watered by Him. Fruits of righteousness, the Scripture says. He must keep us. For we are the branches. He's the vine. Our gardens have tender grapes. The bride says, take us, the foxes. Keep us from the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Tender grapes. Our vines have tender grapes. We're tender people. Lord, keep us. Get our feelings hurt. We get offended. Is there anything worth destroying the fellowship? Have problems? Is anything worth that? Is it worth that? As God Almighty has forgiven you, you forgive one another. You consider what He's done for us. Forgive one another. Keep us. My beloved, verse 16, is mine and I'm His. He feedeth among the lilies. We hear the joyful confession of the bride. My beloved is mine. Mine by grace, sovereign grace. He's mine. He chose me and gave Himself to me. He gave Himself. He gave Himself to me. He reconciled me back to God. He's mine. He's mine. I didn't reach down and grab Him and clutch Him and He came to me. He bought me. He bought me. Paid for me. He's mine. Chose me, loved me, gave Himself for me, bears witness of me, speaks to me kindly. Philippians 3:12 says, Paul speaking, I follow after, if that I may appertain, that for which I also am appertained of Christ Jesus. I follow after Him because He came to me. He appertained me. I want Him. He's mine and I'm His. I'm His. Christ and His body are one. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, so many are one body, so also is Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. I'm His. He's mine and I'm His. We fellowship. We fellowship in Him. I'm His and He's mine. He loved me, I love Him. He gave Himself for me. I'm willing in the day of His power give myself to Him. He made me willing. He called me, I came, because He gave me a heart to come. I wanted to come. We're not our own. Bought with a price. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He feedeth. Last part of 16, among the lilies. He feedeth among His own in green pastures. believers are lilies because of the purity and holiness imputed to them, charged to them. He feeds His own with Himself, the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. Eat of me. He feedeth among the lilies. Now that's what's happening. We come together. Last weekend we had a conference. Two men come and preach to us. And I heard person after person after person say this. Boy, wasn't that good. That was so good. You know what that was? That's feasting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That was good. Taste of Him. Taste of me. See that I'm good. Drink of me. Any man thirst? Come unto me. God's people sit down and they'll say this spiritually. I'm thirsty. Oh, I want to drink of Him. I want to eat of Him. And they anticipate what they're going to hear. And when they hear of the Master, they hear of Him, they hear of the bread of heaven, they hear how Almighty God has put away their guilt, charged it to another. They'll eat of that and they'll taste that and they'll say, that tastes good again. That tastes good again. They'll drink of Him, the water of life, and they'll say that tastes as it's never tasted any better. It's just, He feedeth among the lilies, feeds them well with His Word. Scripture says in Isaiah 25:6, and in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all His people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, L-E-E-S, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees. I looked that up, wines on the lees. What is that? It means full-bodied, the best of it, the best of the wine. Do you remember when the Lord went to the wedding at Cana of Galilee and He turned water into wine, and the master of ceremonies, whoever he was, tasted it, and he says, how is it? Normally the best wine is served first, then lesser qualities later, you know, after people's had a couple of glasses there, you know, serve the lesser stuff, you know, they can't tell the difference, you know. He said, this is better. This is the best right here. Isaiah says this is the way He feasts. This is the way He feeds. He feeds a people of fat things. The best of it. The best of it. He feeds them a feast of wines on the lees, the full-bodied. And He shall provide and protect and feed, the Scripture says in verse 17, last verse, until the daybreak. And the shadows flee away. That is, until that day. Until that day. Until the day dawn. That last and glorious day when Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shall appear and chase away the shadow of the presence of sin and misery wherein all of His people now dwell. They dwell in a world where there's a shadow. It says He's going to feed among the lilies until the daybreak and the shadow flee away. In that day, the day of eternal public evidence of that anticipated marriage, when she hears, I don't know. I don't know what will happen. But I know this. In that day, the bride will hear. In that day, she's going to hear the trump of God. I don't know exactly, but the Scripture says that there was a time, it was a parable. And I don't know. But there was a parable in the time, in the arrival of the bridegroom, and it says in a mighty voice, a voice was heard. It said, the bridegroom cometh. Oh my. Can you imagine? in that day. He's going to feed among the lilies until that day. Until the shadow's gone. And in that day, whether his bride be in the ground, sleep, or whether she's standing on this earth, some will be. But in that day, all are going to hear. They're going to hear. The bridegroom cometh. It'll be over. And the bride says, oh, until that day break, and the shadows flee away, until He come, she says, turn, my beloved. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn. That word turn right there, it means surround me. That's what it meant. Surround me. Keep me. Lord, I'm a pilgrim in this world. I'm in this world. I'm in here. By Your good pleasure and providence, hide me. You said You would. I know You have. I'm hidden in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. That's where You're keeping me. You're protecting me. Nothing happens to me. Nothing happens to God's sheep outside of His direct decree and providence and goodwill. He orders her steps, watches over and keeps her and protects her. She says, keep me from the foxes, little foxes. Spoil the vines. Oh, my beloved's mine. I'm His. He feedeth among the lilies till the day break and the shadows flee away. Surround me. Just keep me. Jesus, hold me. Hold me. Border me on every side. Be Thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Be Thou. Be Thou like the strong, sure-footed one. Be Thou like the one that's coming for me. This is what she's saying. These mountains right now, these hills and mountains of separation and division that you just step on. Be Thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of division. That's what Bether means. This mountain, this place right now. I'm here and You're in the place where we are. I know that. You're in our presence. But you know what she's saying? She's saying this. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Make haste. Make haste, my beloved. And be Thou, in Song of Solomon 8:14, this is what it says, be Thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountains of spices. Be Thou. The bride is separated. By sight, for a while. By faith, she beholds Him. She's in the garden, in His garden, in this earth. But she desires His return. She desires to look upon Him. She desires to see Him. She desires that. I know, I don't know a lot about dying grace. I've heard of it. All I know about it is what I've heard other people say that were dying. But I know this. I know that the closer one gets to that time when they leave this earth, by the indescribable mercy and grace of Almighty God, I can tell you, based upon what I've seen from experience, the closer a believer gets to that time of seeing Him, they wouldn't trade places with you for anything. They desire to see Him by sight and no more by faith. They desire that. Come quickly. Lord Jesus. He gives them a heart to come to Him. That's what the bride says. You feed me. You feed among the lilies till the day, till the dawn break, till that day's break. Shadows are gone. Turn me. Surround me. Keep me. And come like a roe or a young hart upon these mountains of division. Bring me to yourself. I desire you.